I'm Adam Foster, along with Lincoln Hamilton, and you are listening to the Project Prospect Podcast. Lincoln, are you ready to talk Simon Castro until we can't talk Simone Castro anymore?
I'm definitely ready. We're in that excruciatingly long 48 hours between the end of the season and the start of the postseason, so I am dying for any sort of baseball at all right now.
I must feel anti-baseball by saying this, but I think I'm more excited about the Arizona Fall League and studying up about prospects this offseason than I truly am for the playoffs.
You say that as a Giants fan, too, don't you?
I get more excited about the young talents. The Giants have just secured their Buster Posey for the imminent future. I'm going to look to see what else we have in front of us. So, Simone Castro, Lincoln, one of the first things you pointed out to me about Castro, and you can see this when you look at the Project Prospects report that I put together for him, is that he has no arms. Is this correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Simone Castro has no arms, correct?
It's cutting out when you say that.
I'm joking about the picture that I posted with Simone Castro where you said it.
Oh, no arms.
Yeah, no arms.
Yeah, that makes him by far the most unique pitcher in baseball history.
So some people may have already seen what I put together, a lengthy group of thoughts on Castro. I'm anxious to hear your first impression, Lincoln.
He's super, super exciting. He's raw, but you can't really hold that against a guy who's 22. He has the size. His body looks like he was built in a lab specifically to throw a baseball.
And the body comp I gave him in the article was Dontrell Willis. What do you think about that?
That makes some sense. They do have similar frames. Kind of watching him more with the motion, he reminds me a little bit of El Duque, Orlando Hernandez. You know, he kind of hides the ball. He doesn't have the super high leg kick like Hernandez, but he's got those just insanely long arms. He hides the ball. It just seems to really jump on hitters.
It's been interesting with Castro because he wasn't someone, honestly, I was terribly familiar with entering the 2009-2010 offseason, and there were quite a few people who liked him a lot more than I did. One of them was Matt Eddy at Baseball America, and that's someone I still keep in fairly regular contact with, and he's been doing the Padres top 30 for quite some time, and heard positive reports on him about Castro, and it was really a treat getting to see Castro from right behind the home plate at minor league spring training, kind of one of those cases where I went in as a bit of a skeptic. All right, prove to me that you're awesome. And I left after four innings of seeing him pitch saying, okay, I believe all the hype, and I think there should be a lot more hype around Simone Castro. I don't think you find too many guys who are as near big league ready as he is with top of the rotation upside who don't get talked about enough. I don't think he's been talked about enough. I really don't.
Yeah. In preparation for this, I was trying to do just a quick little Google search on him, and there's very little info out there. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we're awesome and everyone else sucks, but I think we're out ahead of the pack in the Simone Castro love here. But everyone else will surely be following us because he's real. I mean, he's the total package. There's no glaring weaknesses that jump out at me. That if he doesn't make it, it would be a surprise to me.
And any time we talk about prospects this advanced, clearly hundreds of eyes have seen them and given them their seal of approval before the mainstream prospect scene even really gets on them. But I think that's part of what makes Castro so interesting, that he did spend a full season in rookie ball, then he spent another season in short season ball, and then as a 21-year-old, he pitched in low A. It's not too common to see guys with a live low to mid-90s fastball spend 3 years before they get to face competition above low A.
Yeah, his development curve, his learning curve, may have been a little flatter than maybe the Padres even would have liked early on, but they, as you said in the report, they deserve kudos for being patient with him, because he's really, really taken off the past couple years. In 2009 and for the majority of the 2010 season, his walk rate was under 7%. He's got excellent strikeout rates. I mean, statistically, everything you would want is there. From a scouting perspective, pretty much everything you would want is there. He made it to AAA last season while still being young for the league. I'd be surprised if he made the Padres out of spring training, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he made a September call-up next year. He's very close to major league ready.
And then kind of getting back to some of his previous development, this is a guy who walked 12% of the 250 nearly batters he faced in rookie ball in 2007. And then, like you talked about earlier, last year in AA, walked 6.8%. So he's made some statistical turnarounds, and I'm with you. I wouldn't expect him to make the Padres rotation out of spring training next year, but I think he's someone who could be ready to contribute potentially come May or June. At this point, I'll be surprised if we're talking about Simone Castro as a prospect again entering 2012. I think he will have graduated.
Yeah, I definitely think this will be our last time to rank him highly, and I will definitely rank him highly on my own personal list. I mean, he's in my mind right now, he's one of the five best pitching prospects in baseball. I mean, he's a three-pitch guy, three solid pitches, close to major league ready, good statistical background. He's very smooth mechanically. I mean, he's, like I said before, and I don't like to repeat myself, but he's the total package. He's a reason to be excited for the Padres, even though the end of the season didn't go as they'd hoped. The future is certainly bright there.
So let's feed the audience some scouting information. Again, I put together some GIS of Castro. I went ahead and isolated each of his pitches, so you can go to projectprospect.com, just search Simone Castro scouting report, and you're going to get to see a short video clip of each of his pitches, just so you have an idea. Also written up descriptions, but Lincoln, I think the foundation for any prospect is the quality of his fastball. And when it comes to Simone's Castro's fastball, I think we've had conversations recently about how the term plus pitch might get thrown around too often. But in this case, I have no problem calling his fastball a plus pitch.
Yeah, he seems to consistently sit 92, 93, 94 miles an hour. With excellent movement. You know, you can just see it from the video that we have on the side. His four-seam fastballs really got some giddy up on it and some explosive late life in the zone. And he seems to command it well. I mean, and you need all three of those things for a pitch to truly be successful. A lot of times with fastballs, we grade it as plus based surely on velocity. And he has plus velocity, but he also has plus movement and at least above average command. So I mean, it's a truly, truly effective pitch. And whenever you combine it with his two solid off-speed pitches, you have a really nice repertoire for a starter.
I think anyone out there who's interested in getting into scouting or learning more about scouting, one of the best tips I heard when I was talking to scouts at minor league spring training this year is I talked to a guy who started scouting in one organization, and he was actually in the medical profession, and his retirement was becoming a full-time scout. And I asked him, well, how'd you get into the rhythm of it? Because he primarily works on the amateur side, not the amateur side, but the minor league side. How did you sharpen your senses to the point where you were able to recognize minor league talent? And he said the organization had him go and just watch tons of big league games and evaluate the big leaguers. So then when he stepped down to the minor leaguers, you can accurately gauge their tools in comparison to the best big leaguers. I think sometimes people who focus largely on prospects might become a little bit detached from what it takes to become a good big leaguer. And when I was watching Simone Castro, the video I had of him, and rethinking what I saw, referencing my notes, I was thinking, okay, this fastball is pretty good, but is it Ubaldo Jimenez good in terms of the velocity and the movement? And I don't think it's quite that good, but it's in the conversation with the amount of sink he gets, the amount of run he gets. And maybe it's worth mentioning, we did have someone in our forums who said that he saw Castro pitch this season and his velocity steadily dropped off when he saw him pitch. I saw Castro in a 4-inning sample. I watched, again, one of his spring training starts that was only 2 innings. So maybe that is something to keep an eye on. I think it's typical to cut young pitchers some slack in that regard. But in Castro's case, he is going to pitch all of next season as a 23-year-old. So he's not a Felix Hernandez prodigy phenom. But what do you think about that, Lincoln, in terms of guys holding their velocity?
Well, with a guy like Castro, or with any pitcher, really, I mean, it's all just in how you condition your body, and those are things that can be improved with experience, with going out there and pitching, and with with exercise and with conditioning and training. We have a lot of discussions about what you can teach versus what you can't, and in terms of muscular endurance and strength, those are things that can and do improve for pitchers, with age and with repetition, with practice, with training. If he was 26, 27 and had that problem, you would get alarm bells going off. Mm-hmm. But as a 22-year-old who's, making the, not the transition, but hadn't, in 2009, he threw 140 innings. In 2010, he threw the same, which is excellent for a minor leaguer. But there's still ways to go to be, a 200 inning major league workhorse.
Yeah, I think it's promising that he has managed to put up his inning totals in back to back years. To my knowledge, and maybe there was something in the past, I'm not aware of Castro having any significant arm injuries, no operations or anything like that. And just again, following up on the response that we did have from Mr. Coop in our forums talking about his velocity tailing off, I went and did some splits, looked at Castro on an inning by inning basis to see if maybe his strikeout rate went down as the games got deeper. And it's hard because even with him facing over, I think it was 500 batters last season, yeah, close to 600. I was just looking at what he did in AA. It wasn't in AAA very long, but you're looking at less than 100 batters faced in each of the first 5 innings over the course of the season. So small samples, but in the first through third innings, I had him striking out 22.2% of the batters he faced. Fourth through sixth, 19.3% of the batters he faced. So it did drop off. It was pretty high, his strikeout rate in the first and second innings, again, for some reason, in the fifth. But it did sink down to 18.5 and 18.3 in the third and fourth innings. What did go up a lot was his walk rate as the game progressed. And I think it's only fair, and we'll get into more scouting details on each of his pitches. Maybe this is a good way to get into it. But to note that while Castro does have good control, I thought, that's why you see back-to-back years with a walk rate under 7%. He can throw strikes when he wants to. The command, I thought, to an extent was lacking. I think his command could be a good amount better with a slider. I think that could help him with strikeouts. And he was the kind of guy where once out of every 15 pitches when I was watching him, there was some sort of errant pitch where it seemed out of character, but it came frequently enough where I'm not sure what the cause of it is. I mean, you've studied mechanics more than I have, Lincoln. He is the kind of a guy who comes from a low three-quarters arm slot. I don't know if those guys have more trouble staying on top of the ball and being consistent.
Occasionally, generally speaking, guys who come from as low an arm slot as Castro does, and he's very low three quarters, generally those guys do have more problems, especially with a curveball, and you generally see them almost exclusively use a slider. But he's a guy who maintains his balance pretty well. You can see in the different GIFs that you have on the website that I'm looking at right now. His mechanics do change a little bit depending on the pitch that he's throwing. You can see it kind of most notably with his changeup. But he's a guy that I think overall, with experience, you know, with being out there on the mound facing quality hitters, I don't see anything mechanically that would prevent him from having, you know, at least solid to above average command long term.
And it is easy to get giddy about someone who throws as hard as Castro does, gets as much movement. I think part of him coming across his body allows him to put a lot of rotation on the ball, which is something that gets him that arm side run. And then he is also able to get a good amount of sink. And it is exciting to see the three pitch potential, as you were just talking about. With you can't really throw a curveball from as low of an arm slot as he comes from, but his slider does have good movement similar to a curveball. It just comes in a lot faster, and it's like a really tight curveball. To me, to an extent, it reminds me of Brett Anderson's in that it's fast. It doesn't get the same kind of sweeping movement, but I think it's impressive to see someone from that kind of arm angle who can still spin a breaking ball as sharply as Castro does.
Yeah, and that's really a sign of arm strength. I mean, whenever you get that tight break, it's a sign that there's a ton of RPMs being put on the ball, you know, which comes from his really explosive mechanics and just raw natural arm strength.
He is going to get some swing throughs with his slider. When I saw him, he didn't feature it a ton, but I think it is the kind of pitch where he's ahead in the count, he can bury guys away with it, especially if he's commanding it down in the zone. And getting back to statistics for a little bit, I think that was one area that he made a lot of promising progress. From low A to double A is a huge jump for any starting pitcher, and it's rare to see them make as solid of a transition as Castro did. I think some critics might say, well, his strikeout rate dropped by over 7%. Yeah, it did, and that is probably a sign that he's going to need to improve his command. He's going to have to be more aggressive with that slider to get more swing throughs. But at the same time, and again, we're looking at minor league data that isn't always accurate, but I typically hope that scorekeepers can judge a ground ball. His ground ball percentage went from 42% to 50%. And for a guy jumping two levels, I think that speaks volumes about the type of arsenal he has. And in addition, how he knows how to pitch. That was one thing I took away from reviewing him in detail, that in contrast to Julio Teheran, just because he's who I wrote about last, Julio Teheran is a thrower. If you're expecting him to become an above-average starting pitcher, I'd suggest tempering those expectations a little bit. He could very well become that, but he's not a pitcher the same way Simone Castro is. Simone Castro pitches with intent. He's trying to hit the corners. He's trying to hit his spots. It's rare to see that from someone his age who could just as easily overpower guys with fastballs. Simone Castro isn't pitching to dominate in the minors. He's pitching to become an effective big league pitcher.
I think that's very well said. And Teheran does prove kind of an interesting foil for Castro in that they'll probably be ranked pretty close to one another. They have similar good qualities in that they both have outstanding stuff, smooth mechanics, tremendous natural arm strength, but the difference is how much more advanced with the mental side of the game, you know, with the art of pitching that Castro is, and Teheran could certainly get there one day. A lot of that's just about experience, and Castro's had the benefit of pitching up in AAA, even if just for a little bit, but he's faced more elite hitters. But yeah, he's, I mean, he's, he's just exciting. I mean, I kind of get lost watching him because, I mean, he does so many things so well that for someone who really likes the game and who really likes to see young players develop, to try and catch a glimpse of greatness before it happens, you can see a lot in that with a guy like Simone Castro.
I guess since you already informed everyone that, yes, the Giants do happen to be one of the closer teams in geographic proximity to me, and I do tend to watch as many of their games as any other team, although I have contemplated getting rid of cable and just watching MLB TV, which would make it so I could not watch Giants games. After they clinched, I don't know if it's really clinching if you do it on the last day, but in the clubhouse interviews after the game, I was watching Juan Uribe be interviewed with my family, and it was interesting seeing someone who played baseball in the United States for so long, who clearly hadn't invested a lot of energy in learning English. And I think baseball is a game
more conditioning.
It's fun. There are lots of languages in baseball, and I think we're getting to the point where there are more. I enjoyed watching some minor league spring training games last year next to Alex Liddy's parents and hearing Italian at the ball field. But with Simone Castro and reading some articles about him, and I went ahead and included some quotes by his coaches and teammates. I think there was one on MLB.com that where Castro was quoted, and he was speaking in English, not through an interpreter, as someone who just finished a second full season in professional baseball fairly well. And he spoke in the article, too, his interest in learning English. And sure, there are guys who can play baseball without being the most intelligent people ever, but one thing I found in talking to prospects and studying prospects is more often than not, big leaguers are people of above average intelligence, that it takes more than raw ability. And when you have someone who's interested in looking at the game through a different lens and furthering that knowledge, it gives me a slightly more confidence than them, than someone else who's maybe a nucleus kind of person.
Yeah, or maybe a hitter who doesn't understand that getting on base is important, that taking walks.
All you need to do is hit home runs and make jazz hands, and you'll have plenty of fans, Lincoln.
I agree with your point. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be book smart. I mean, you certainly don't have to be a poet to play the game. But every high-level baseball player that I've ever interacted with at least was very, very smart about the game. And that sort of intellectual curiosity that's necessary to being a high-level player, I think that might be what you see with Castro here, and that's certainly a good sign. I know the same thing about Elvis Andrus. Struck me, who, you know, Andrus as a 19-year-old playing in Double A was giving interviews in English, like in full perfect English.
Wow.
And, it's those, you know, I kind of think intangibles get thrown around by people who are overlooking an obvious solution and just don't want to try and explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But intelligence certainly plays a part, and it's nice to know that Castro could have that on his side. I mean, neither of us have, you know, sat down and quizzed him or, you know, seen his IQ test or anything, but
maybe you should invite him over for dinner sometime, Lincoln, and then we can publish a one-of-a-kind report.
That would be awesome. That'd be great. I'd find his favorite dish. I'll learn how to cook it on Food Network, and we'll have a grand old time.
So then just a summary on Simone Castro stuff again from the scouting angle. We didn't talk a ton of detail about the changeup, so I'll elaborate on it slightly. Well, we did mention that there is a bit of deceleration when he throws his changeup in his body. I saw it more in his lower half, and in asking Steve Carter what he thought about that, if that's something you pick up as a hitter, it's not perfect. Well, if you're watching slow motion video, I don't think it's terribly difficult to pick out when Castro threw his changeup and when he threw his fastball before the pitch gets to the plate. it's close enough. And he gets a good amount of movement on his changeup, which because probably that deceleration comes in 8 to 10 miles an hour slower than his fastball, which is what you want to see. It doesn't move as much as a fastball, but there's a bit of tail, a bit of sink. It's better than a lot of changeups I've seen, so maybe you'll agree with me or maybe you won't, Lincoln. I would rank his pitches, his four-seam fastball is number one, and I'd call that a plus pitch. His slider, his number two pitch, I call that slightly above average with the potential to be well above average. And his changeup, I'd have his third best pitch, and right now I'd call it slightly below average with the potential to be an average, maybe major league slider changeup, sorry. And he also throws a two-seam fastball, but I'm not sure, given how much movement his four-seamer has, if that two-seamer is really necessary. It's an average pitch probably, though.
I think I would agree with all that. As we kind of talked about, the slight mechanical changes that he makes, he picks up his back leg a lot in kind of an attempt to slow down his momentum from his lower half, and his release point is a little bit higher. He's a little bit more upright when he throws his changeup, which could be tells to more advanced hitters, but are also things that can relatively easily be ironed out by good coaching.
I was trying to replicate Castro's mechanics in my room for his changeup versus fastball, and pretty sure anyone looking into my apartment from out on the street seeing some 5'1" guy, I'm not really that short, trying to replicate Simone Castro's mechanic, it must have looked pretty goofy.
You mean they didn't think that it was Simone Castro in that room whenever they saw you?
No, maybe if I was doing some tubing or a towel drill and they could hear the the weak little snap of the towel as I pretend to throw my changeup, then they could have believed me.
Real quickly, since we've been talking about his mechanics, the one thing that I don't like about his mechanics is that he doesn't really drive off his back foot very much, but he compensates for that really well. Generally, you like to see guys drive off their back foot as a way of creating energy, but Castro's hip rotation is just crazy good. I mean, he is a textbook example of how to aggressively, but still with balance, rotate the hips, and he generates a lot of energy from his core. He has very good timing with his arms, with his arm action. His ball pickup phase, his scapular loading, is beautiful. He reverse rotates his shoulders a little bit, which doesn't actually throw off his balance. It actually gives him a little more time to get the ball up into the drive line, which he doesn't really need since he gets it up pretty early. But it's a little deceptive, it looks like. Occasionally, it looks like he might have a little problem getting up over his front foot, which is probably related to his lack of drive off his back foot. But his follow-through is just perfect. I mean, the way he decelerates his arm after he lets go is, you know, what you would draw up, you know, if you believed that such a thing as perfect mechanics existed, which I'm not totally sure exists, but he does it about as safely as you possibly can. You know, that's what it looks like from video, at least. I don't have him strapped up, you know, in a biomechanical lab with the American Sports Medicine Institute, but he creates his energy with his core, which is what you want to see. He stays balanced. He has good timing. He decelerates his arm very well, and he. I don't know if it's just because these these GIF files are on a loop, but he seems to repeat his delivery very well.
Anyone who's on a GIF file can repeat the delivery very well. Okay, Lincoln, let's wrap this one up. And like usual, I'm going to put you on the spot with three questions that I did not let you prepare for at all to see if I could ever embarrass you and to get honest, spontaneous answers.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Question number one.
Teddy Roosevelt. Wait, sorry, I don't know the question yet.
If the injury does not occur based on what you've seen from Simone Castro, what do you think is his worst case outcome, again, if there's no injury going forward?
Okay, Teddy Roosevelt appears to be a poor answer for that then. I doubt he would be president of the United States. If no injury occurs, I don't see any reasonable scenario in which he's not at least a solid number three mid-rotation guy. His stuff is, as we said, you know, he's got two above-average pitches now, his fastball, his slider, his changeups. Even if that doesn't develop, those two pitches can get guys out. And you know, a league average starter in Petco can put up some really nice numbers. I mean, as a, you know, if anyone is listening to this as a, you know, with an eye towards fantasy, like you,